Shalom, Rabbi Gottfried.
How are you, Ilan?
I'm fine. How are you?
Thank God, Baruch Hashem. Now we've passed the holiday of Pesach, Passover.
Yeah.
And now we're moving forward. We got to always remember to take the lessons of Passover, the freedom, how we're supposed to be free, and remember what we have to do in this world, you know, for the future. Because sometimes people, they finish Passover, they finish the holiday, it's in the past, and that's it, we're done.
Yeah, and if we're talking about freedom, it's connected to today, to Yom HaZikaron LaShoah.
Yeah, absolutely. Today and tonight in Israel, they do the sirens, and then tomorrow is also sirens, and is the day of remembrance. It's actually interesting. On Monday, I believe it was 70 years
for
ago
the liberation
of Westerbork.
Westerbork, yeah.
Westerbork, and it was actually liberated by the Canadians.
Yeah.
I think it was like the 8th Regiment or something like that.
Yeah, Canadian forces.
Yeah, yeah. And so there were thousands of people there in the Netherlands. And my father-in-law, who is a survivor, was a little child. And he was imprisoned in this camp with his family before being deported to Bergen-Belsen. And he tells the story of how his mother, you know, when they would cram them into these cars, you know, you couldn't move. It was so crammed that, like, you were scared if you moved one toe, you would step on someone.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of kids, and everyone was crying and everything. So there was a lady that started to sing, you know, these little lullabies and things to try and calm the kids down.
The kids, yeah.
And she was singing it, and you know, the kids started calming down, and they started singing, and everyone was singing, and you know, and when they came, they finally opened the doors. Everyone was surprised, like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And my father-in-law says that the woman that got up to start singing was his mother, so it was my wife's grandmother.
Yeah.
And one of the children that were crying over there was Tim, my father-in-law. So I was actually watching it live here in Canada when it was going on in over there in the Netherlands. So it was very, very powerful, to the statement. And, you know, he was there with a daughter and grandkid to be able to show that never again, something like this will never ever happen again. He was able to say Kaddish there and to be able to show the world that Am Yisrael Chai, that Jews are always going to get up, dust off, and continue going, as hard as it is. Now, obviously, this coming Sunday is the Yom HaShoah ceremony, so obviously we'll be talking about that as well on the day. But it gives us that opportunity to be able to constantly remember that we have a purpose in this world, and no one will ever be able to destroy us. And that was, you know, if you go and look, everyone, regardless of who, Jew, non-Jew, the amount of comments that are going around, you know, whoever's on Facebook, never again, never again,
yeah.
Which is something so true. So that's, you know, something that I thought would be very, very powerful to share with all our listeners. And now we have, you know, this week's Torah portion is the Torah portion of Shemini, which talks about many, many different aspects. You know, it talks about the following the 7 days of the inauguration, Aaron and his sons begin to officiate as, you know, the Kohanim, the priests,
yeah.
and the two elder sons of Aaron, Nadav and Abihu, do something that was not what God wanted to be done, and they died. And obviously, Aaron, even though it was a tragedy, he was silent in the face of that tragedy. And we also see in this week's Torah portion that it talks further about God commands us to do the kosher laws, identifying the animal species permissible and forbidden for consumption, land animals that may be eaten, you know, if they have split hooves and chewed cud and fish, yeah. that have fins and scales. And also it finally talks about the laws of ritual purity, the power of the mikvah, pool of water, meeting specified qualifications, and the wellspring, and thus the people of Israel are enjoined to differentiate between impure and pure. Now, very, very interesting, one of the things that it says is you may eat from everything that is in the water, everything that has fins and scales. As it says in the Shikar portion, those you may eat. And the Talmud tells us that a fish that has scales automatically also has fins. You don't have to examine it any further.
Yeah.
However, there are fish that only have fins, those are then unclean, you have to really check. So the question is, what is the lesson we can derive from the signs of kosher and non-kosher fish? If we think about it, fish in their habitat, which is water, are really a metaphor, an example to scholars studying Torah. This is obvious from that which is related in the Talmud, in connection, for example, we know the Romans government's decree against Torah study. That was one of the things that they said, you're not allowed to do. Why was it so important? Because they realized that this was something so important in the Jewish life. And when there was a great sage, Papas Ben Yehuda, he saw Rabbi Akiva, who was a great, great scholar, convening public assemblies to study Torah. He asked, Akiva, are you not afraid of the regime? Rabbi Akiva replied with a parable, and he said like this, there was once a fox that was walking along the riverside bank, and he saw fish gathering from place to place as they were fleeing from something. And when the fox inquired, from what are you running away? They told him, from the nets people set up to catch us. So the fox said to them, come up to dry land, and we will dwell together just as our ancestors dwell together. Now, obviously, everyone knows what the fish response. You are a fool, for in our habitat, where our life is sustained, we are afraid. All the more so, we should be afraid of our existence if we live outside
yeah.
of our habitat. So likewise, Rabbi Akiva said, if now, when we study Torah, which is our life savior, our existence is threatened, how much are we in danger if we would, not absent ourselves from the Torah? And really, scales serve as a protective garment to the fish. And through the fins, it swims from place to place. When one studies Torah, it is expected of him to create, innovate thoughts and explanations. It is also a must, an imperative, that one who studies Torah have fear of heaven. And the Gemara, the Talmud, further compares Torah study with the fear of heaven to wheat, which is stored with a preservative consisting of earth with a high salt content. So just as a grain will spoil quickly without preservative, likewise, one studying Torah without fear of God will easily forget, and his Torah study will be like poisonous medicine for him. So, thus, we really have to think that the fins represent the power to accomplish and reach new heights through innovative contributions to Torah. You know, they say there's 72 ways a certain thing can be learned in the Torah. Each one of them is correct. And the scale represents the essential ingredient of fear of heaven, through which one's Torah studies preserve and become of a source of medicine that adds life, that adds to our life. So if we think about it, to end off, if one possesses the quality of scales, he's on the right track with his Torah study and will eventually enhance himself. And the Torah, with his fins, innovates thoughts which will be compatible to Torah truth. So such an individual really is considered pure and clean. But one who studies Torah and does not have scales, fear of heaven, is unclean and unfit. And his Torah studies and fins, innovations, are contrary to God's desires. And it does not merit him with a spiritual source of life which Torah gives us to study with. So we need to be able to have the scales to be able to enhance our lives through Torah, but also be able to give more, innovate, and do things with the fear of heaven. With that, we'll be able to merit godliness in this world. And you know, just the same thing, we tie that in into the Holocaust, just to be able to say, well, I will just learn Torah and whatever happens around me, happens around me. No, I need to be able to be involved. I need to be able to be involved in the world, in Torah studying, spreading Judaism, and spreading godliness in the world. And that's how we're going to make this world ready for godliness spiritually and bring that into the physical world.
That's a good connection between Yom HaShoah and the Parsha.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's, you know, something that we have to always remember is that the reason why the Holocaust happened, the reason why people were killed, and specifically so many Jews, was for one reason, because they were Jews, because they wore the identity as a Jew.
Yeah.
Nothing else. They didn't care. You were fat, you were ugly, you were pretty. That didn't make a difference. You were a Jew, and that's something that we have to be proud of. Our ancestors gave up their lives.
Yeah.
For that. Absolutely.
So let's talk about the yearly ceremony at Shaarei Shamayim.
So they have the yearly ceremony, which is open obviously to the whole community. It is on Sunday, I believe at 7 o'clock. It's a really, really inspiring, moving ceremony. There is going to be a Holocaust survivor speaking, I believe. I do not remember the name. But it's going to be obviously fascinating and amazing to be able to hear. It always is that every year. And with the children and the grandchildren and the Holocaust survivors coming to light, the candles really reminds us of the light that we have to deal with and the strength that we have to be able to show to the world. So it's a phenomenal experience if you haven't experienced it yet, and I do encourage everyone to really come out. It's at 7 o'clock. It's not a very long program, but I think this is the least that we can do to be able to honor the memory of the people that died just because they were Jewish.
Yeah. Okay, Rabbi, I want to thank you for the interview.
Thank you, and I look forward to doing an interview next week.
Yeah, and I hope to see you on Sunday at the ceremony.
Yep. I will be there.
Thank you, and Shabbat Shalom.
See you all. Shabbat Shalom.
Bye-bye.